CFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump is granting U.S. automakers a reprieve from the stiff new tariffs on imports from Mexico and Canada. White House spokeswoman Caroline Leavitt.
The president is giving them an exemption for 1 month so they are not at an economic disadvantage. So the three companies that he spoke to are Stellantis, Ford, and General Motors.
Leavitt confirmed today U.S. negotiators have spoken directly to Hamas about ending the war in Gaza. U.S. policy has been not to negotiate with terrorists. An internal memo says 80,000 job cuts could be coming to the Veterans Administration, which provides health care to retired military members. A new CBS News poll questioned Americans about the president's speech to Congress last night. Here's correspondent Vicky Barker.
Asked to choose which words best described how the speech made them feel, 68% said hopeful, 54% said proud, 27% worried, 16% angry.
CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Congressman Tom Tiffany has reintroduced legislation to eliminate most renewable energy subsidies for solar and wind energy projects on farms. The bill, titled the Future Agricultural Retention and Management Act, would prevent taxpayer funding from being used to encourage developers to use those power sources instead of others. The legislation would not outright prevent developers from building wind turbines or solar panels. Tiffany says the legislation is meant to protect agricultural land for future generations. Opioid deaths are on the decline in Wisconsin as settlement funding from national litigation streams in. The funding has been used for harm reduction efforts, public awareness campaigns, and school-based prevention programs across the state. Thanks to those efforts, officials say opioid deaths in the state last June fell to their lowest level since April of 2020. Wisconsin will have received about $780 million from the various settlements by 2028. 30% goes to state programs, with the rest going to local programs. Law enforcement authorities are looking for help from the community to identify a suspect in a Prescott vehicle theft. According to a press release, the suspect was allegedly seen stealing a backpack that contained the victim's wallet from the vehicle. They then used the victim's credit card at three businesses in the city. A security camera managed to capture footage of the suspect driving a white Ford pickup truck, but did not capture the truck's license plate. Anyone with information on the theft should contact the Prescott Police Department. The University of Wisconsin-Stout is among the recipients of over $100 million for building projects through the State Building Commission. According to a press release from Governor Tony Evers, UW-Stout has been approved for two projects. The first will see renovations to the school's communications technology classroom, adding things like a digital video laboratory. The other will see smaller-scale repair work on a variety of buildings, like replacing windows, repairing masonry, and improving overall structural integrity. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
The Bucks with a win in Atlanta. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks beat the Hawks 127-121. Atlanta had the lead midway through the game. Doc Rivers asked about what he didn't like about the Bucks defense in the first half.
I just thought they got in transition early. They made two or three threes off our missed layups. So second half, I thought we were way better. First half, I didn't think. We showed video at halftime where first three steps we were jogging, they were running by us. Second half, we didn't do that, and we took that away from them.
College hoops. It's the Badgers at Minnesota tonight in the border battle. Marquette on the road at UConn. The Packers re-signing their free agents. First, it was linebacker Isaiah McDuffie. Now, kicker Brandon McManus gets a three-year deal worth $15 million, $5 million guaranteed.
You know, I'm happy that it's in the past now. I was hoping and working hard for another opportunity. I'm extremely grateful for the Green Bay Packers for giving me that next chance to come back out here and play the game I love.
That's kicker Brandon McManus with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Becoming mostly clear tonight with the wind dying down and a low in the mid-teens. For tomorrow, sunny forecast, high mid-30s. A mix of sun and clouds on Friday, a high in the mid-30s, and even warmer for the weekend, highs well into the 40s and mostly sunny.
It's 28 degrees right now.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Elon Musk. You're going to fire a bunch of folks. Well, that's going to, you know, increase unemployment. That's going to have an impact on the economy. The government buys farmers' goods for the USAID and no more USAID. Well, this thing's going to rot in the field. What happens to the prices? What happens to the farmers? What is the point here? It just seems like these are just such amateur decision-making, wasting our taxpayer dollars by wasting people's time.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Trump and Vance verbally assaulted the president of Ukraine, an ally of the U.S. Trump defending the president of Russia, a known dictator. This is a complete capitulation to our sworn enemies, and it's time for Republicans, my former party that I left in 2011, to speak the hell up, because if we don't, it's not going to be long before we don't have anything left to defend.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
Thursday, we talked to State Senator LaTanya Johnson of the legislature's Joint Finance Committee, and we meet new State Assembly Representative Russell Goodwin.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome back. If you're rejoining us, my name's Maggie, and you are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, it is Wednesday, and it is 3 p.m., and that means it's time for Broad Appeal, a segment where each week we celebrate women elected officials, specifically Democratic women elected officials that are pro-choice. We've got one of those fabulous females with us today. I'm really privileged and happy to bring onto the Maggie Dawn Show Assemblywoman for the 79th Assembly District here in the state of Wisconsin, State Senator Diane Hesselbein. Thank you so much for joining us, Diane. It's a real pleasure to speak with you this afternoon.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here, and happy Women's History Month. This is fantastic. We're off to a good start.
We are. You have been in elected office in some way, shape, or form since 2005, 20 years, my friend.
I know. It's been a long time.
A long time, a lot of change, a lot of challenges and opportunities. I want to kind of start at the beginning. Why did you decide to run back then for the Middleton Cross Plains Area School District Board of Education?
Sure. Love to tell the story. So I had three little kids, and there was a neighborhood meeting going on, and they were talking about moving the boundaries of what kids would go to which schools. And some member in the community stood up and said, well, I really don't want those people to go to our school. And I was sitting there and nobody said anything. And then I stood up and I was like, I don't want to live in a community where people will say something like that and nobody checks it. That's not okay. And so none of the school board members said anything. Nobody said anything. And so I ran for school board and I won. And I'm really happy that I won. I served there a number of years. And then later on, had an issue on the Dane County board, and my Dane County board supervisor never called me back. So I decided to run against her, a 16-year incumbent, and I beat her. And then in the state assembly and now the state senate. So it's been a marvelous ride, but really it started with just being at a meeting and being annoyed and mad that something terrible was said and nobody did anything. And sometimes you have to be the change to make your community change.
As they say, be the change you want to see in the world. The old NIMBY phenomena and the us versus them seems to be quite persistent in a lot of our public dialogue. And congrats on your County Board of Supervisors win as well. I don't think people recognize that incumbency, especially when it comes to some of these local elected offices, often is outcome determinative in many elections. It is literally a cakewalk. And so my congratulations to you for taking that on and unseating an incumbent. And I just want to take that opportunity to say to each and every one of our listeners out there, if you have seen something happen in your local community that, just like Senator Hesselbein, you don't like or you think you deserve better, or phone calls or emails that go unreturned, unresponded to, guess what? That's your opening, everybody.
Absolutely.
Think about a run.
Yes. My county board supervisor, I called 3 times about an issue. She never called me back. And then she voted the way I wanted her to. And then she stood up that night and to say, you know, I think I'm going to vote for this project. There might be a school board member looking, you know, wondering what I'm going to do. So she got the message, never called me back. So I called her the next day and I said, thank you so much for your vote on this project. However, I'm going to run against you because you never called me back. Well, guess what? Then she called me back. Then we met for coffee and she told me I should not run because your husband travels for a living and your kids need you at home.
I'm sorry.
Not kidding. Nothing motivates somebody more than someone telling you to stay home.
Listen, Senator, I have to share with you that yesterday I was having a discussion with a good friend of mine, and I said to her, you know, people often underestimate the power of a very determined, highly competent woman, let alone a group of us, when we decide to set our minds to something. It's incredible to me that the very thing that I was speaking about, of course, the power of incumbency, the sense of entitlement that a lot of elected officials have to their offices, played out in very literal terms in this discussion you had way back when you decided and then won your Dane County Board of Supervisors seat back in 2008. Now, you joined the Assembly just over 10 years ago. Congratulations on your most recent reelection. Tell people what's motivating you to continue to want to be part of what is a highly divisive, divided state government. What are your priorities, Senator?
I love public service. And I think the things we don't talk about is the way we help our friends and neighbors. We have listening sessions, people stop us in the grocery store, whatever, and they tell us their problems. Now, sometimes I can solve those problems and sometimes I can't. Sometimes I say, you know, go talk to our good friend, Congressman Mark Buchan, that's a federal issue. But we work in tandem helping each other. And he also, if there's state issues, he'll send them back to me. So helping people solve their issues is really what keeps me in public service. And working with a great Democratic caucus, we have 15 members in the state Senate right now. I can't tell you, we had 11 last year. We were able to flip 4 seats. It's been a game changer. We're having conversations with Republicans we haven't ever had. So we're poised to take the majority in 2 years, and we're going to be doing it. And until then, we're going to continue to try to work with Republicans to pass things to help the state of Wisconsin. When we can agree, we will agree. When we can't, we certainly aren't going to be letting go of our values.
Senator, do you think that the new maps have helped spur a more cooperative and incentivized a more cooperative across the aisle approach, despite how things may get talked about when elected officials in state government, in the state assembly and Senate are giving comments? Do you think the new maps, especially on the Senate side, have spurred and created incentives to collaborate?
Absolutely. These maps have been a game changer for the entire state of Wisconsin. People can finally pick who they want to represent them and not have it automatically be a decided thing before they even go to the polls with these extremely gerrymandered maps. And we have 18 Republicans in the state Senate, 15 state Senate Democrats. How are we going to pass a budget? You know, they used to have a rule. I don't know if a lot of your members know, but it was 17 people. They said 17 people in the Republican caucus would have to vote for a bill before it came to the floor. That's not going to happen this time. They're not going to be able to get 17 votes for a lot of things. So those conversations are already happening on how we're going to move forward on specific policies.
What are you looking for or most concerned about, both on the opportunity side and potentially on the threat side, in this next biennial budget, Senator?
Well, I'm really excited about what Governor Evers did and his budget, of course. I'm really happy he put such another, you know, record-blowing information and money into K-12 education. We really need it. Supporting our public universities, really near and dear to my heart. They desperately need it for years. Both K-12 and public universities have been underfunded. And really, that's one of the big reasons why we have this $4 billion surplus, is because we haven't been funding education the way that we should have for over 10 years. So of course, when you don't do that, you starve something. Where does that money go? It's sitting in a kitty. No one's using it. We need to be giving it back to public schools. So I'm hopeful that we can do that.
Senator, your point is extremely well taken. And every opportunity I have, I like to remind everyone that is listening that though Governor Evers has throughout the course of his administration prioritized educational funding, he's had to do that because for the decade plus that Republicans controlled both the legislative and executive branches in our state, they engaged what was a generationally acute and extreme defunding of public education. We're effectively trying to reduce the harm by refunding public education at a moment in time where, candidly, Senator, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on this, the lack of commitment to educational funding, public educational funding, is harming rural school districts at a greater relative scale than it is larger school districts that frankly have the economies of scale or the largeness to absorb some of those funding pinches, though we're seeing that funding problem across the state. I also wondered if you could make comment about your Republican colleagues' thought that they may introduce legislation to strip away from taxpayers and Wisconsinites the right to say, yes, we will pay more in property tax to fund our local school districts.
Sure. So, Republicans run, they say they support public schools every single time. We look at their literature that they're leaving in doors and mailboxes, and we're like, what in the world is going on? Because you do not support public schools like you should be. And they have been underfunding it for so long. Back when I went to even college, it was affordable, right? Because if people are like, oh, Robin Voss will always say that's because there's too much administration. No, it's because the state is no longer putting those dollars into our public universities so that tuition can be affordable for those students. And that's the problem that we have. So I know we're going to continue to work on this budget, and hopefully we can come to some spot where maybe for the first time ever, I'll be able to vote for it. We'll see.
I certainly hope we see a good faith commitment to public education from your Republican colleagues. Folks, if you're just joining us, I am joined by Wisconsin Senator Dianne Hesselbein. She's with the 79th Senate District. We're talking about our state budget. I'm very curious, Senator, did you watch Donald Trump's first address to the joint session of Congress yesterday?
I did watch some of it. We had someone over at our house, but I did catch some of it. How awful, how unstatesmanlike. What a trash show. It seemed like a reality show. I felt like I was reading The Onion. I was like, what is going on? How so unpresidential and embarrassing. And I kept thinking, okay, it's going to get better. And then it didn't. And I thought, this is just awful.
Its terribleness was only outmatched by its ridiculously long runtime. I wasn't sure I could ever get so bored as to potentially nod off in a Donald Trump stump speech, which is what it felt like to me, just a rally speech. But I did. I actually found myself nodding off towards the end. When is this guy going to stop talking? Wow. We're going to talk more with the senator when we come back after these brief messages. We're going to dig into the State of the Union a little bit more. We're also going to touch on the Wisconsin State Supreme Court race. Always interested to hear what female elected officials have to say about Judge Brad Schimel's Supreme Court candidate statements that, you know, those female justices are just too gosh darn emotional. All of that and so much more coming up in just a few moments back here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. And make sure, everyone, speaking of that Supreme Court race, you know that general election is coming up in, oh my gosh, less than 30 days on April 1st. Make sure you have a voting plan. Early voting starts soon. So absolutely make sure that you have gotten your voting plan together. Check out your ballot, check out your polling place, and confirm your registration at myvote.wi.gov. We're going to take care of some business and come right back with Wisconsin State Senator Dianne Hesselbein after these brief messages right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
The Tap.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Anti-authoritarian feelings ran high in the years before and after the signing of the Declaration of Independence, as the Declaration's litany of complaints against the king suggests. So it's unlikely the Founding Fathers would have supported expansion of presidential powers and absolute immunity for official acts. The July 1st opinion from the so-called originalist members of the U.S. Supreme Court invokes Alexander Hamilton's Federalist Papers vision for a vigorous and energetic executive. Without that, quote, the president would be chilled from taking the bold and unhesitating action required of an independent executive. But that's not the whole story. Three other prominent framers of the U.S. Constitution, James Madison, Benjamin Franklin, and George Mason, feared the opposite and pushed for a multi-person executive council to decentralize power. Ultimately, they compromised, stipulating that the president should seek advice and consent from the Senate for appointments and treaties. Constitutional Convention delegate James Wilson said during debates on the Constitution, "Sir, we have a responsibility in the person of our president. He cannot act improperly and hide either his negligence or inattention. He cannot roll upon any other person the weight of his criminality." He continued, "Far from being above the laws, he is amenable to them in his private character as a citizen and in his public character by impeachment." We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Pretend to be your friend. Smiling faces show no trace of the evil that lurks within. Smiling.
Welcome back, everybody. My name's Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's 3 p.m., and we have got broad appeal. This week's guest is Wisconsin State Senator Dianne Hesselbein of the 27th Senate District. Just want to correct one of my misspeaks. I had incorrectly identified the senator as coming from the 79th Senate District, which is impossible because there aren't that many of them. She, of course, served previously in the Wisconsin State Assembly and also as the assistant minority leader from 2017 to 22, and her assembly district was the 79th. Welcome back, Senator. I wanted to ask you specifically about Donald Trump's statements yesterday, not just about farmers, but he repeatedly said he's going to serve farmers. He loves farmers. He loves the middle class. He loves steelwork. I mean, there wasn't a middle class working group of people that he didn't try to show some love to. But just like a smiling face that belies a very sinister intent, it's easy to say to a group of people that you love them and you support them. But the truth of the matter on the ground is quite different here for Wisconsinites. What was your reaction? What were you thinking as you heard the president express his love for all of these different groups of people?
My parents always taught me that actions speak louder than words. And he can say whatever it is that he wants, but we know that he is making terrible decisions with his buddy Elon Musk, and it is hurting regular people in the state of Wisconsin. Whether it's veterans, U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin just put out a call. She started the Dairy Business Innovation, Wisconsin Dairy Business Innovation in 2008, the Farm Bill. Well, big surprise, though, the money's not getting to where the people were told it was going to go. So she's sounding the alarm saying that's not happening with all the chaos and the confusion happening in D.C. Also, we just got a call this morning that veterans aren't receiving their tuition on time for the GI Bill, which they have earned. That is their earned benefit, and they should be able to go wherever they want with that GI Bill. And in the past, they have been, and the tuition was paid on time under different administrations. It is not being done so now, so we're following up with that today to try to figure out what to do, because we don't want these veterans to be penalized because they don't get their payments done on time. And that's usually what happens in a higher education, so we're trying to figure that out. yesterday. I was visited by Alzheimer's people that care about Alzheimer's. My dad had Alzheimer's, so I think I'm always a soft spot for that, for them to come to my office and tell me new things we could be doing. They also look at what other states are doing to help patients and people with Alzheimer's. But somebody from the university was there saying that they are no longer able to do all the research that they do at our university on Alzheimer's because people aren't at the National Institute of Health making sure that those federal grants are being paid and those applications aren't even being looked at because there's nobody to look at them on the federal level. And those are just three examples that we just found out within the last 24 hours. So if your listeners are hearing this and you know that you've been impacted by the chaos and the confusion happening in Washington, D.C., please reach out to our offices and let us know what's going on because we are here to serve you. And that's why I got into public service in the first place.
How can they reach your office, Senator? Is there a best email or phone number that you prefer that people use?
Yeah, 608-266-6670. They can send an email to anybody. Look and always reach out to your state senator and state representative. If you are living in a Republican district, don't be afraid to reach out to them as well because that's our job. Our job is to serve the people that send us to work. And whether you voted for us or not, whether you're a Republican listening and you're like, I'm having a problem, that's my job is to try to help you.
Folks, you're listening to Senator Dianne Hesselbein, Wisconsin State Senator from the proud 27th Senate District. Her office number again is 608-266-6670. Did I get that right, Senator?
You absolutely did.
We're going to put that in our show notes, as we always do, folks. You can find those at civicmedia.us/shows. Just look for the Maggie Dawn Show. We'll include that number if you want to reach out to the senator. With the time that we've got remaining this afternoon, Senator, and again, thank you for joining us today. I'd like to turn to the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. We have some sound from what current Waukesha County Circuit Court Judge Brad Schimmel just said about a number of the justices on the court. Let's take a listen.
And the other thing that I noted, there were times that when that camera went on, several of the liberal justices, they were on the brink of losing it. You could see it in their eyes and you could hear it in the tone of their voice. They are being driven by their emotions. A Supreme Court justice had better be able to set their personal opinions and their emotions aside and rule on the law objectively. This is we don't have that objectivity on this court.
Senator, I'll set aside for some time that I've got to counter, you know, objectively applying the law because Brad Schimmel can't even read Wisconsin open meetings law as it reads plainly in our state statutes. Brad Schimmel, calling the four women on the court emotional when it comes to a court case about women's bodily autonomy, I think take some cojones, to put it mildly. What was your reaction to Mr. Schimmel's campaign overall and in particular these statements?
Well, first of all, when I heard that he said that, I watched it. I wanted to see what the justices said and what he considered was too emotional. And I'm telling you, it wasn't. They were pointed conversations, questions that they were asking and wanted an answer to. They weren't even sounding angry. I have no idea where he even got that they were being emotional or that there was something in their eyes. Brad Schimmel was wrong as attorney general, not testing those rape kits. And then he bought those goofy coins that say kicking ass every day. He was terrible as attorney general and he would be terrible on the Supreme Court. He is just, he's going to do whatever his, you know, money backer Elon Musk tells him to do. And that's exactly what he's trying to do. And we cannot let Wisconsin be bought and sold. Our rights cannot be bought and sold in the state of Wisconsin. We won't stand for it.
Couldn't agree with you more, folks. That is State Senator Dianne Hesselbein. Again, if you want to reach out to the senator, she's got Wisconsin State Senate District 27 covering the area around Dane County and Madison, Middleton, etc. You can reach her at 608-266-6670. And I'll double down. Make sure you've got a voting plan. Our general election for the spring cycle is April 1st. Make sure you've got a voting plan. Get your voting done early if you can. Then you don't have to worry about it on April 1. You can find all of that information and much, much more. Take a look at your ballot. Confirm your polling place all at myvote.wi.gov. Thank you so much, Senator. I can't wait to have you back. What's one thing that the people listening might be surprised to learn about you?
Oh, I'm addicted to Turner Classic Movies. I think it's because they're gentle. I listen to it a lot. Like, people are like, did you watch this on Netflix? And I was like, no, there was something else on. I also love The Golden Girls and Murder, She Wrote. Big fan of Angela Lansbury. I think she is just fantastic. I love her outfits. I love what she can solve.
We're going to have you back, Senator, to just talk Golden Girls and Murder, She Wrote. I used to try to get all of my chores done back in the day so I could sit down at 8 o'clock and watch Murder, She Wrote. Folks, that's going to do it for us. We'll be right back with Over the Hump and Trump right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Organic farmers have a new marketing opportunity. I'm Stephanie Hoff, and you're listening to the Midwest Farm Report. Just last week, Naturally Wisconsin launched in partnership with the Food Finance Institute. Executive Director Jamie Valenti Jordan says Naturally Wisconsin is a tool for the organic industry to network and showcase its products. He has the details.
Naturally Network is a kind of an expression of this need to partner together in order to support the natural products industry, most commonly in the food industry, honestly. And so what Naturally Wisconsin is intended to be is an opportunity for us to bring all of the resources that are here to support both our farmers and our entire supply chain through the natural products ecosystem to help us to be better business partners by making these one-on-one relationships and understanding each other as people above and beyond our businesses that we represent alone.
Naturally Wisconsin just opened on February 27th. Executive Director Jamie Valenti Jordan recommends checking it out through the Food Finance Institute.
Well, hold on to your britches, everybody. It's time to go nuts at the Springfield Corners Testicle Festival. March 8th, you can enjoy deep-fried delicacies along with ice-cold beverages and live music by the Lights Out Band. Join me, the fabulous Farm Babe, along with the rest of the Midwest Farm Report team at Springfield Corners for your chance to win concert tickets and to try some fried Rocky Mountain oysters. It all kicks off after 2 p.m. on March 8th. Springfield Corners. See Facebook for more details.
Loss of appetite, drop in milk production, and dehydration are all key indicators of HPAI, or bird flu. This disease is a threat to cattle health and farmers' bottom line. Help protect your herd and reduce the spread by keeping animals hydrated and eating with BioVet. Bovine Gold Light provides key electrolytes for livestock, and our direct-fed microbial products support digestive health and appetite. Learn more at bile-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
We're seeing grain markets bounce back from yesterday. On the close Wednesday from Chicago, cash corn is up 4.25 cents at 455 3/4, but December new crop corn is sitting neutral at 446 3/4. Cash soybeans are up 12 3/4 cents, closing at 1011 3/4, and November new crop beans are up 6 cents at 1009 1/2. Class 3 milk contracts continue to fall. The April Class 3 milk contract is down 24 cents at 1735 a hundredweight, and the May contract is down a penny at $17.77. Class 3 milk goes to make cheese, which was mixed on the close. Barrel cheese down 2.5 cents at $1.70 1/2. The 40-pound block cheese up a penny at $1.61 1/2. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Becoming mostly clear tonight with the wind dying down and a low in the mid-teens. For tomorrow, sunny forecast, high mid-30s. A mix of sun and clouds on Friday, a high in the mid-30s, and even warmer for the weekend, highs well into the 40s and mostly sunny.
It's 28 degrees right now.
Matt Nair on air.
A lot of federal employees got this fork in the road letter. You can stay, but you're not really guaranteed anything. Luann's husband is a Vietnam veteran.
I wrote a letter to President Musk. My husband put his life on the line for our country.
Wow.
You are putting my husband's life on the line right now by cutting all those programs that are keeping him alive at the VA. Please call your legislators and tell them to stand up. This is not what America is.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I'm very excited. It is my pleasure to welcome tonight my old pal, Dr. Kristen Lierley. I told the entire listening audience that I rub my feet together sometime when I watch TV, and I called it self-cuddling. And it's like the only thing we do where we rub our own bodies when we relax, you know.
Is it? Are you telling that to a gynecologist? Pete, come on.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
Join me as we find out what happened to USAID with Christina Dry, speechwriter and communications analyst for the agency.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome back. If you're rejoining us, my name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. It is Wednesday. We're in our last half hour of the show, and that means it is time for a little segment we like to call here on the Maggie Dawn Show, Over the Hump and Trump, as it is hump day, and basically most days we need to get over Trump, hence the segment. It all kind of came from my thinking this January. I don't do resolutions because I end up breaking them, and then I feel guilty about it, that I wanted to have some New Year's intentions, and my intentions were pretty basic. I wanted to connect with you and my friends and family and my community more. I wanted to create more, actually have time to think, to do things like play my violin more. I also wanted to play more, move more, and rest more. So this segment every week is kind of built around those ideas. Now, a small bit of a departure this week. I actually want to start with some Trump. So forgive me for that, everybody. We're going to get to the over the hump and Trump part of this in just a second. But I think it's really important, especially because we had a day heavy with some of our great guests, that we make sure we heard what the president had to say yesterday on a couple of key points. Perhaps most importantly, this little tidbit that I don't recall hearing one bit of during the campaign. Let's take cut one, Cal.
Our farmers starting on April 2nd, it may be a little bit of an adjustment period. We had that before when I made the deal with China, $50 billion of purchases. And I said, just bear with me. And they did. They did probably have to bear with me again.
Yes. He then went on to use the word disruption when it comes to the trade war that Donald Trump has ignited with Canada, Mexico, and as it is unfolding, China as well. And Donald Trump apparently seems poised to go even further in this trade war. Cal, let's take cut three.
April 2nd, reciprocal tariffs kick in. And whatever they tariff us, other countries, we will tariff them. That's reciprocal, back and forth.
Well, I'm sure that's going to go really well for people that are having a hard time affording groceries and housing and gas. And I'm sure it's going to go just as well for the farmers this time around as it did last time. It was a disturbing State of the Union, quasi-State of the Union speech, to say the least. One journalist covering it described the atmosphere at the beginning of the speech as almost scary, given the vibe in the room, given the anger, given the mistrust. And certainly that was coming through the television as I watched the beginning of the speech. I will give Donald Trump credit. He made one thing clear yesterday that apparently his lawyers weren't aware of. Let's take cut two, Cal.
Which is headed by Elon Musk, who is in the gallery tonight.
Oh, okay. So Elon does run Doge, despite what his lawyers have claimed in legal filings. Last but not least, the one other maybe kind of sort of bright spot I'll say about the president's speech last night that went on and on and on and on was that apparently peace talks and our discussions with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky have reopened. But then today, the president announced that the United States will stop sharing its intelligence with Ukraine. So whatever bright spot that may have been quickly washed away this morning. Here's my general takeaway from last night, especially and in particular, including some of the behavior from Democrats at the beginning of the speech. This looked like and felt like to me, basically, like the guy that thinks he's more popular than he actually is in high school, running for class president and promising everybody the world without any hows or whats or any of that included. A guy that nobody really likes, but again, thinks he's super popular and might not be, tells everybody they're going to get free periods and, you know, open lunch and the vending machines won't cost anything. And then he loves everybody. But again, no hows or whats. It just didn't sit with me as an actual address that addresses real problems that we're all experiencing. It seemed like a bunch of nonsensical puffery and a re-engagement of the same kind of rhetoric that Donald Trump used during his campaign. But make no mistake, while that certainly appeals to his base, that's not what these typical addresses to joint sessions of Congress, these State of the Union speeches, are supposed to be. They're generally supposed to be an address that helps people feel, regardless of whom you voted for, that the president is looking out for you. It's supposed to bring people together. It's supposed to say, I have a vision for the United States that will serve the middle class, that will serve the vast majority of you. It's supposed to build bridges. But by all accounts, this absolutely wasn't that. Even by conservative media outlets' accounts, it was the most partisan address to a joint session of Congress, perhaps ever. But to what end? I'm left wondering to what end? Like, where do we go from here? If this is a president that only serves the people that support him, then he's no president at all. And that ends up being my concern. And I don't want to mince words in any way, shape, or form about what I believe was not a good idea from the Democrats. I don't think behaving like rude children in a joint address to Congress is a good idea. But didn't it strike you, even if you are a Trump supporter, as a wee bit disingenuous when Republicans started criticizing Democrats for that? Does anybody remember Cruella DeVille? I mean, Marjorie Taylor Greene shouting out repeatedly, liar, all sorts of Republicans dating back to Obama interrupting these addresses. Come on. This just wasn't very good at all. Oh, and if I failed to mention it before, it was way too long. No one can possibly want to listen to that kind of a thing for what? 109 minutes or so? It was just too much. So today, I wanted to ask each and every one of you, and especially my fabulous producer Calvin and my senior producer Jamie, what else would you possibly rather be doing than listening to this kind of speech? Were you able to even stand it for a while? Let's start with you, Jamie. Did you watch it? Were you able to stomach it? And I would imagine there are a few other things you might want to be doing.
Well, there are a few other things I'd rather be doing. And first, let me say, the length only rivaled what he did at the RNC back in, what, July? Was that July? Okay. So
yes,
that the
very
length
similar.
Was only, yes, very, very similar to that. Second of all, do the Republicans have sore legs today? Because there was a lot of up and down in the whole thing. So these are questions I ponder. Yeah, it was a good leg workout. So hopefully the calves, the thighs are all good today. What would I rather be doing? I tried to muster as long as I could. Cleaning grout with a toothbrush. I mean, that's always a good option instead of that. I mean, I have a dog. Dog owners, you will get this. Maybe perhaps going outside this time of year, cleaning up the remnants of the puppy dew outside. Those are other things.
A more attractive option.
Yes, yes. And if you've got a dog, you know that that is not a fun option this time of year.
Generally not a lot of fun. How about you, Cal? Were you watching? Could you stomach it? What would you rather be doing than watching this sort of address to a joint session of Congress?
Well, I saved my sanity and refrained from watching it. I figured I would receive what I needed to hear through clips on TikTok and whatnot. And yeah, I mean, pretty much absolutely anything than watch that speech. I mean, I pretty much just did what I usually do at night and played video games and read my book. But I would have rather went and rolled around out in the snow than sit through that.
Almost anything else. I started nodding off. I do have to say the one bright spot in the evening was the response from newly elected Senate Democrat Alyssa Slotkin. Let's take a listen very briefly. Let's start with that first cut from her on the trade war and its impacts right here at home.
President Trump is trying to deliver an unprecedented giveaway to his billionaire friends. He's on the hunt to find trillions of dollars to pass along to the wealthiest in America. And to do that, he's going to make you pay in every part of your life.
Indeed, that was the portion of her address addressing the trillions in tax giveaways. Frankly, what I'm going to call rich people subsidies that Donald Trump wants to give to his billionaire bros and corporations like Amazon. Let's listen now, Cal, to cut five on the trade war from the senator.
His tariffs on allies like Canada will raise prices on energy, lumber, and cars, and start a trade war that will hurt manufacturing and farmers.
Yeah, farmers like those right here in Wisconsin who have been waiting on funding promised them from the USDA that they have begun to invest their own money for projects, again, that they were promised supportive funding from USDA that has been held up, threatening largely very small farmers here in the state of Wisconsin. That's how Donald Trump loves Wisconsin farmers, by sending them into bankruptcy. But all of this led me to a place, Jamie and Cal and all of you out there, where I thought, you know, instead of booing and you know, waving placards and all of this sort of performative nonsense, what is something that we can do that doesn't involve us sitting and watching it or reliving it in minute detail? And one of the things that came to mind to me is the more that we can actually take a break from this stuff, the more that we can actually have fun together, do things that are apolitical or that are really reaching out to other folks, that is its own form of resistance. And so, Jamie, I wanted to ask you, as you've been living through this with me, doing this show with me every day, what are some of the ways that you've been reaching out to other people and finding your bits of joy and fun, and in that small way, resisting some of this division and separation?
And I think this is something that I'll say that our family, it goes way back to the Trump 1.0, right? Or Trump V1, whatever you want to call this, you know, it's whatever version we're on. I remember the very first go around, our kids were really little and they just were completely flummoxed by what was going on in the world. And so we had these fun little things that we made. They were on the blank bookmarks and we put a Hershey kiss on them. And so when people did good stuff for us, when we were in a store or at a restaurant, we would make sure we gave those just out to somebody. Now my kids are a little bit older. So we try to volunteer with as many different organizations, try to give back, try to make some donations. Everybody's going to start feeling some of this at some point in time. And just trying to be around people that I don't want to say that are necessarily like-minded, but that you can have those discussions with, those really good long discussions about how this is affecting not only you, but other people, and sometimes your own mental health and your own sanity at the same time.
Well, and thanks so much for that, Jamie. I think one of the opportunities that we have is when you see people in your community or maybe even beyond your community that are the first to bear the brunt of this anti-middle class, pro-billionaire set of policies from Donald Trump, pro-corporation, anti-small business policies from Donald Trump, there are affirmative steps that we can take to reach out and to support people. I've got just such a story that I want to share with all of you when we come back from this next very brief break about a small business in the state of New York, more than 1,000 miles away from us here in Wisconsin, and the outreach that they did, their bit of resistance, to show some love and to share some joy with a local Milwaukee woman. I'm going to share that story out of tragedy and hurt coming joy and connectedness. That's coming up right now on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. After these brief messages, keep it locked. We'll be right back.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
Judge Brad Schimmel is an anti-choice politician whose positions are too extreme for Wisconsin women. He supports a pre-Civil War law that bans abortion. But don't take our word for it. Hear it in his own words.
The 1849 ban on abortions, which, by the way, what is squat about that law?
The 1849 abortion ban provides no exceptions for rape or incest.
What is flawed about that one?
The 1849 law criminalizes doctors and their patients.
What is flawed about that one?
Brad Schimmel supports an 1849 law to ban abortion with no exceptions. Tell Brad Schimmel, extreme politics don't belong on Wisconsin Supreme Court. Call 262-548-7548. That's 262-548-7548. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Governor Tony Evers has released his budget, calling this the most pro-kid budget in state history. This is now the fourth time that Evers has put forth a budget proposal, and the three prior were all met with a similar fate. Republicans in the legislature rejected it entirely. Again this year, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss called the budget dead on arrival. To a certain extent, this is what we've come to expect from this era of divided government in Wisconsin. In previous years, Evers has eventually signed Republican-authored budgets and used his line-item veto powers to make certain changes. But could he play hardball this time around and threaten to veto the entire budget? Is there anything in this pro-kid budget that has to be there? Things like education funding, or clean water protections, or Medicaid expansion? With everything going on in Washington, now might be the right time for Evers to fight for these proposals and fight for Wisconsinites in any way he can.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network at 3:30 every Wednesday. We do a little segment called Over the Hump and Trump. Today, I broke form a little bit. Had to talk about some of the things from Donald Trump because his address to a joint session of Congress last night was weird, hyper-partisan. And given some of the Democrats' behavior at the beginning of it, kind of looked like a shouting match between, you know, high school nemesis. He appeared to me to be, you know, the guy in high school is a little awkward, maybe not too popular, but thinks he should absolutely be class president and promises everybody everything, but has absolutely no plan to deliver on any of it. Yeah, kind of had that vibe to me. And I wanted to set that up because I think part of what is our collective challenge every day, and even for folks that support Trump, My great fear is that this sort of rhetoric, even if you're a fan of his, leads us all to a place where we view each other every day suspiciously, right? That we default to anger and hate and division, that instead of having a default where we assume the goodwill and good faith of our neighbors and coworkers and friends, everyone is potentially the enemy. It's just not a good frame of mind. I don't think it does much for our country to move forward from this place of divisiveness. And I frankly think it's really bad for our collective mental health, which we've all been struggling to maintain, especially post-COVID. So I needed to get through that as kind of the table setter. And we've been talking about how the idea of having some shared joy, about finding points of connection, is actually its own form of resistance. Whether you're a Democrat or Republican, resistance to this division, this invective, this insertion of politics into absolutely every facet of our lives. And I think there are daily opportunities to extend ourselves, whether it be extending kindnesses, just having fun with one another, or sticking up and supporting people who seem to be bearing the brunt or the tip of the spear of some of the negative impacts of Donald Trump's policies. And there was a local story very recently that I wanted to share with each and every one of you because I found it so incredibly moving, both in its initial pain and hurt that it caused, but in the redemption that eventually occurred in this story. But before I get there, I wanted to invite all of you, if you have thoughts about Over the Hump and Trump, if you have ideas, things that you think we should be talking about, addressing, great stories from your local community, or things that come across your radar that you think we need to be talking about, this can be anything, sports, the arts, it can be about your favorite books to read, anything that you'd like us to share so that we can connect about it. You can always share that via the text line at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also email those in to askmaggie@civicmedia.us. That's askmaggie@civicmedia.us. Here's the story that I think is so redemptive. A West Dallas woman who is biracial took her car in to Coons Buick GMC. That's Coons Buick GMC, located on South 27th Street in Oak Creek here in the Milwaukee area. Oil change went as they usually do. She picked her car up. And later, when she looked carefully at the reminder sticker that was placed on her windshield, the N-word was there, printed onto the sticker. Now, Coons had called her, claiming that a technician had left a tool in her car and asking to come retrieve it. They sent the guy who allegedly printed the sticker out and put it on her car, which draws into question both their judgment and the cover-up. But I don't want to focus on that. What I want to focus on is this. A New York car dealership, Family Nissan in Inwood, New York, heard about this and has decided to gift this young woman a brand new car. They said this: the team here got kind of fired up to add more support and to add more voice to hers and to her narrative and to push her message forward that this should never happen. And so they gifted her a brand new Nissan Leaf, an electric car with a $38,000 sticker price. Boy, if that's not a way to turn pain and heartache and division into a moment of connection across 1,000+ miles from New Jersey right here to Oak Creek, I just can't think of anything better. This was, I'm certain, incredibly painful for this young woman, and I'm so happy to see people doing outreach like this to turn something that causes so much pain and heartache actually into something that I hope is redemptive and positive. It is a reminder that we have an opportunity every day to look for these opportunities for kindness, for connection, and most importantly, to push back against the hate, the division, and the pain. We all deserve these moments of relief, whether you are a Trump supporter or not. We deserve to be able to step back from this partisan brink and actually remind ourselves of the things that connect us most. So my big thanks to Family Nissan of Inwood, New York, not New Jersey, Inwood, New York, for being that moment of redemption this week when we maybe needed it most. Folks, I'll be back tomorrow with the Maggie Dawn Show. You got Dom Salvia. He's back in the chair. He's up next right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it is always better when we stand together with kindness and respect. Take care.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt Nair on air.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, Dom is back in the seat with Matt Rothschild as co-host. Was that a state or a union we saw last night? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. The Todd Alba Show.
Think about how many people in our communities, our friends, our families, our neighbors, our postal workers, carriers, people that work at our Veterans Affairs Hospitals, USDA. Here's what Marjorie Taylor Greene, Donald Trump's lieutenant, thinks of all the people I just mentioned.
Federal employees do not deserve their jobs.
That's what Donald Trump and MAGA believe if you are a federal worker.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls. W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. A brief reprieve for automakers. President Trump says he'll exempt them from the tariffs on Mexico and Canada for 1 month. Reporter Jeff Gilbert in Detroit.
This gives car makers a little bit of breathing room, but does not remove uncertainty. Tariffs have the potential to add significantly to car makers' costs.
Lawmakers called mayors of sanctuary cities to Capitol Hill today to answer questions. Boston's Michelle Wu joined others in insisting threats prevent immigrants from coming forward to report crimes.
We're a city that opens our arms and offers a hand when this administration is more interested in turning its back. I will never back down from an opportunity to defend Boston.
A student at a Florida high school has become the state's first this year to come down with measles.
Pretty scary. Turns out you can die from that. So, like, scary world we live in.
Parents there have been sent an email advising them vaccinations are available. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.